new book chronicles the history of the B&O Railroad. It was one of the first railroads in the United States, incorporated nearly 200 years ago, and it is inextricably tied to the history of Baltimore and Maryland. David Shackelford is the chief curator at the B&O Railroad Museum on the grounds of the Mount Clair Shops in West Baltimore, and he has assembled hundreds of photographs that tell the history of the storied railroad that was such an important part of the Industrial Revolution and the evolution of transportation throughout the 19th and 20th centuries. The book is called The Baltimore and Ohio Railroad in Maryland, and David Shackelford, welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So they say that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, and in the case of the B&O Railroad, the first part of track was 13 miles.
13 miles.
Where did it go from?
Well, it went from Baltimore to Ellicott's Mills. As many of you all know today, it's now known as Ellicott City. Mm-hmm. And it's just a unique journey because when you put it in the context of 23 miles of rail in the entire nation, 13 miles are based in Baltimore. And from what would grow to from such a small distance to really 250,000 miles of rail in the nation by the 1920s. Just fascinating.
Yeah. And by the time the B&O reached its peak, how many miles mm-hmm. of track were there in the whole system?
Oh, the B&O system was approximately about 8,000 miles at that point.
Yeah.
And that was about the 1920s, just in the middle, right before the Great Depression.
Right. Why did they want to connect Baltimore and Ohio in particular?
It was all about commerce. And really, when you think about it at the time, it was the Baltimore merchant class that was trying to make sure that the Port of Baltimore remained a viable entity. And it was all about making money. So you had a lot of people who were really worried at the time that they were going to get cut out of trade from the C&O Canal. And since that was ending in Georgetown, this merchant class felt, oh my God, we're really going to lose a lot of business. So that's when they looked to England and saw the technology that was there and then would bring it to the United States and create what was known as the Baltimore Ohio Railroad.
But other people around the country were not thinking in the same way?
They were thinking in the same way. I mean, it wasn't long after that the railroad was created in South Carolina. And there were other railroads that were trying to gain charters, but it was unique to this area because of the challenges that it was going to face. And it's interesting because at that time period, when you look at it, waterways were actually the most efficient way to get around. And what was unique at the time was to think about, you know, here are these guys, instead of building a canal, they want to build a railroad. So it's a transition. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's just such a seminal part in our history that making that jump is what's unique.
It was also, the B&O was the first to offer both freight and passenger service. Mm-hmm. So that really revolutionized how Americans felt about travel and where they could all of a sudden get to that before they couldn't get to.
Right. And it's funny because when you think about how long it took people to go places, it's amazing. Gallatin, who was Jefferson's Secretary of the Treasury and basically would help redefine, you know, the national road system, he knew that, for instance, at that point, it was quicker to go down the Mississippi River to go from eventually Pittsburgh to Philadelphia than it was to go 300 miles over land. It just took too long. Now, the railroad would totally revolutionize that. So when you look at going from like Baltimore to Wheeling on the Ohio River, it could take you probably 4 to 6 weeks, depending upon the season, depending upon which stagecoach you use, depending upon how fast it was and how bad the roads were. But eventually, the B&O Railroad would refine that to 42 hours. Now, in our day and age, 42 hours seems like a long time. But when you shatter something that has been basically centuries long, it's a big change.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is David Shackelford. He's the author of a new book about the B&O Railroad called The Baltimore and Ohio Railroad in Maryland. It's very important during the Civil War, and for that matter, World War I and World War II as well. What was its significance in the Civil War?
Well, the Civil War, what makes it so unique is that when you think about getting to Washington, D.C. by rail, from the north especially, it's the only route into the city. So that 35-mile stretch that was known as the Washington Branch was incredibly important, especially in the early days. Also, when you think about where the B&O's line ran, it was in the south along the Mason-Dixon line, so through Maryland and Virginia and portions of western Virginia today that's part of West Virginia. So when you think about when Lincoln issues his initial call for volunteers, getting those soldiers there, how are they going to go? They're going to go by rail. It's the quickest and most efficient way to get to the city. And nothing can be more important than when you look at the image of Washington, D.C., the B&O station, you can see the Capitol in the background. You don't get any closer than that. So it's significant for the amount of troops, the amount of tonnage that it carries, the supplies, and really revolutionizing how a war would be fought. So it would be known as Mr. Lincoln's Railroad.
There are so many names, you know, famous names affiliated with the railroad. Let's just talk about one of them, John Work Garrett. He was in the middle of the 19th century, the head of the railroad for about 26 years, very influential. Garrett County is named after him, as well as a bunch of other places. And it was him and his coterie of friends who built institutions like the Peabody Institute and Johns Hopkins. But he was really a towering figure in this history.
Yeah, he's a towering figure for Baltimore. And what's unique about Garrett is he begins to gain his knowledge. He's a shipper. And it's all about transporting goods from point A to point B. So by working with his dad, who owned basically a shipping company that transported things over land, he learned logistics, and he learned how to do it well. And so by the time he comes on board with the B&O, he's in a wonderful place with this incredible amount of knowledge, and he's a mover and shaker, and he really knows how to get things done. And there's no doubt that his role during the American Civil War is seminal in how he does this. So he goes from being very much a pro-Southern sympathizer in the beginning to understanding just what the Civil War would mean to his business, to his livelihood, and he really, in the end, is one of Lincoln's best friends.
As an historian of railroads, what's your understanding or your take on the future of railroads? Unfortunately, I think now the only time we hear about railroads is when there's some sort of problem, like a few weeks ago, you know, the disaster over on 26th Street, or, you know, a few years ago, there was a problem in the tunnel over at Mount Royal Station. Where do you think things are headed? Amtrak has had its problems, you know, moving human beings from, you know, in the New York corridor as well as across the country. Where are we headed?
I think that really the future of railroading is alive and well. And railroads were created as a freight industry in the beginning, and they continue to do so. And they're making a good bit of money. They're doing really well. In terms of passenger travel, I think what you're seeing is a little bit of a resurgence ever since September 11th because of just people being more comfortable being on the ground, having, you know, sitting inside a train is much more luxurious than sitting in an airplane. So passenger service is coming along pretty well. What worries me the most, I think, is that when you look at how rail is truly integrated in Europe and in the Far East and in Japan, that you don't see that here in the United States. A good example is I went from Baltimore to Kansas City. It took me 48 hours. You know, if I did it by plane, it would take me, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6. And that's one of the things that, because it's not that type of efficiency long distance, you know, you're going to see more of like the Northeast Corridor be where you make your money. I think people will continue to use it as a means of transportation. There's no doubt. And hopefully we'd like to see maglev and high-speed rail in some form gain traction and really help modernize how people travel back and forth through the United States.
Well, David Shackelford, the book is really quite extraordinary, and congratulations on it, and thanks so much for coming in. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, thanks.
David Shackelford, he's the chief curator at the B&O Railroad Museum in Baltimore. His new book is called The Baltimore and Ohio Railroad in Maryland. It's part of the Images of Rail series published by Arcadia Publishing. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning for a link to more information. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. We're going to send it back to Nathan Sterner now. If you haven't yet pledged in our spring membership campaign, there couldn't be a better time to do it than right now. Here's Nathan to tell you how.